Today on Real Radio.
2,000 years ago, in the diaspora, they were driven out to all the corners of the world. But did you know something? They never ceased to be a people. They maintained their language. They maintained their culture. They maintained their worship. They maintained their scriptures, though they didn't have a homeland. But from start, and the Bible makes it clear, to finish, they'll be the nation of Israel.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges, a narrative that describes one of Israel's darker eras. We're now in chapter 2 in a presentation called A Nation Under God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
A little bit of background to realize as you get into this chapter, it doesn't take long to discover that as you see this pattern that's going on in Israel's life, that you begin to realize that in history, God is the one that establishes nations. Sometimes we see those things as carnal deals, people. Sometimes we see the establishment of a nation, which doesn't come along very often. Although if you've been alive since 1948, you saw Israel become a nation again. There's been a couple of nations that have changed names in governments, I know in my lifetime. But governments come and governments go. And the Bible says that God does that, or he presides over that. He watches it happen. Those are not accidents. Even with what's going on in the Middle East, I know it looks like a crazy thing going on, and yet God knew about it before he ever put the rings around, you know, what is it, Saturn? Which one's got the rings? Saturn. He knew all about that. Nothing surprises him. He doesn't learn anything at all. And when we look at nations, we need to just remember that God is in control, and that it's the Lord that establishes the very history of the nations. And if we were to consider, for example, America, boy, it would not only be a small fraction of a dot on the timeline of nations, but America is so young as a nation when it goes to, as you look at it against the ages of nations in the world, but we would just be a speck on the timeline of nations. When you put it up against nations, for example, like Egypt, and you look at Egypt and what God did by allowing and establishing Egypt and all the things that he did with that, you can imagine for a moment that if you were back in time thousands and thousands of years ago regarding the empire of Egypt, you never would have dreamt in your wildest dreams that Egypt would ever cease to exist. You say, well, Jack, it does exist. It barely exists. I mean, Egypt is not the power, obviously, that it once was. Egypt ruled the world at one point in time. Nations ebb and flow. And then you think about the Babylonian Empire. What a massive, tremendous empire. And Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And he was just such a powerful leader. And great engineering feats that came out of the Babylonian Empire. And all of the things that they created. And where's the Babylonian Empire now? It's gone. It's washed away. You think about the Medo-Persian Empire and all that took place with them. And they're gone again. You think about the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great conquered the world faster than any other leader in human history. And where's the Grecian Empire? And you look at the Roman Empire and all of its power and might and the vastness of it. And it fragmented away. It kind of just broke up into fragments all around the world. And then there's been little kingdoms ever since then. I say little kingdoms. I know the British Empire was huge and massive in the globe, but struggled with power. When we look at the things that God is dealing with the nation of Israel, it's amazing to realize that in all of the establishments of nations, my friend, as they've come and as they've gone, remember this, from the very beginning, from Egypt to today, there's always been a little country called Israel. You say, well, Jack, that's not true, because the last 2,000 years they were dispersed throughout all the nations of the world. And you're exactly right. 2,000 years ago in the diaspora, they were driven out to all the corners of the world. But did you know something? They never ceased to be a people. They maintained their language. They maintained their culture. They maintained their worship. They maintained their scriptures, though they didn't have a homeland. But from start, and the Bible makes it clear, to finish, they'll be the nation of Israel. It's absolutely amazing. Nations and kingdoms come and go. Tonight, as we look at our study, we're going to be looking at some things that I think are amazing, because we'll be reading about Israel, but it's so easy to digress into America and what's going on in America and what God has done with America. If you're a note taker, jot this down. It's quite a radical statement, but true. Israel, with obviously no doubt about it, you could say that Israel's very birth and existence is there in the Word of God, and it has been given the promises of God. And the covenants that God made with Israel, he says in the Old Testament, are everlasting covenants. They're forever. The church can't take Israel's place in replacement theology. That's insane. That is the divorcing of Israel out of the scripture, and it's absolutely calling God a liar when he says, I have made a covenant with Israel forever, and they're my people. But there are some who want to take Israel out of the Bible and put the church in there. No, there are promises given to Israel, and there are promises given to the church. America or Britain has not taken the place of Israel. The Bible's very clear about that. I have made a covenant with Israel, God says, that will last forever. But when you look at America, Israel obviously being founded by the Lord, established and kept by the Lord, America is very unique. In all the countries of the world, the founding of America was based upon a spiritual passion that left Europe looking for freedom to worship the Lord God of the Bible. America has a history that is extremely unique. And you say, yes, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord, as long as America walks with God. Amen. Hey, Israel was blessed as long as Israel walked with God. When Israel didn't walk with God, they got spanked. And God doesn't go around spanking other nations because they're not his. He doesn't care about them. I mean, he cares, but he doesn't care like Israel. But then he turns to America and has this tremendous work in America. Though, listen, Christian, you can't find a verse anywhere in the Bible about America whatsoever, but you cannot deny that God has not blessed and established America by the founding fathers and their passion to follow the Word of God. It's amazing. And the United States became the most powerful Christian nation in all the history of the world. Those days have waned. Those days are over. But true nonetheless, God has given this nation great things. So as we go through this study tonight, keep it in mind. We're talking about a message entitled tonight, A Nation Under God. Israel was and is a nation under God. But you might say, well, Jack, that's us too. Yeah, I know it's true by I pledge allegiance to the flag, right? And to the republic, right? Hey, one nation under God? Or our money says, in God we trust? Should we really have that on there? Do you think America trusts in God? I don't know. I know you do. And see, the parallels will be just like Israel, as it is today for us. And I think, though, we'll look to the past in our study, we'll be able to glean a lot out for the future in which we live in. Let's just take the chapter tonight, Lord willing, and we'll just go through it. First thing I want you to realize is found in verses 1 through 9. If you're going to break it up or mark it in your Bible, verses 1 through 9 is the first section of chapter 2 and what God is speaking. Now, it's very interesting. And by the way, as we get into this, write this down. As a nation, It's created for a purpose. God created Israel for a purpose, and every nation has been created for a purpose that the Lord has in mind. But you can also obviously put that United States has been created for a purpose. But for Israel, number one, as a nation, it's created for a purpose. And in Genesis chapter 12, jot it down in your margins or your footnotes there. In Genesis 12, listen to what God says about a nation being founded for his purpose as it was with Israel. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you and will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now, having said that, look with me right here in verse 1. A nation created for a purpose is a people or a nation that must fulfill God's plan. God established Israel to fulfill his plan. And I believe that he's created America to fulfill his plan. Verse 1, then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, listen to this, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. The first thing I want you to see is that God creates a nation for his own purposes. That's God's sovereign right. But notice in verse 1, it says that the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. You need to mark that. Do you see in your Bible, at least it better be in your Bible, do you see angel capitalized right there, capital A? You want to know why? This is what's known as a theophanies or a Christophanies. When it says that the angel of the Lord came here, the angel of the Lord, capital A, and then note what he says. He says, I led you up out of Egypt. Wait a minute. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that an angel led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Nowhere. That's why there's a capital A on this angel. The word here is messenger or proclaimer. Note this. He said, I brought you into the land which I swore to your fathers. No angel ever swore any promise to Israel and to the fathers of Israel. And they can't. An angel can't do that. Angel can't fulfill that. I will never break my covenant that I've made with you. An angel never made a covenant with Israel. I think you know exactly where I'm going with this. A theophanies is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ before he was born as a little baby in Bethlehem. The eternal Lord God, Jesus Christ. He appears and in other places in Scripture. With Abraham, for example, at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the three personages appear where Abraham is there, the Lord speaks, Abraham begins to make sacrifices and begins to speak to him as the Lord. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Remember the two angels broke off from that moment? They were going to go down and destroy? Amazing. And so now you have this thing that's beautiful because the angel of the Lord comes out of Gilgal. If you remember in our study in Joshua, Gilgal was the place when the children of Israel came over from Egypt, crossed over what is now today Jordan, over the Jordan River, and came into Gilgal, which was their first camping trip in the Promised Land. They pitched their tents, and there an altar was erected. Gilgal is where the covenant was renewed. Gilgal is where they enjoyed such great, great peace when they came into the Promised Land. Gilgal is where Joshua in later years went back to renew or to recommit his devotion to the Lord. Gilgal is a very significant place. As we look to chapter 2, it is still an introduction to where this book is going. In fact, you're going to hear about Joshua a little later tonight in our study, because he's speaking about the announcement for the children of Israel to remember where they've come from. And the Lord uses the establishment of this fledgling nation to be about his business. In Psalm 33:11, the Bible says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen to be his own inheritance. Another thing I want you to see in verses 2 to 5 is this, that a nation created for God's purposes is a people, is a nation that must answer to the Lord, must answer to God. And I want you to pay close attention to this, because I think this has serious meaning to us as Americans today, as Christians tonight. He says in latter end of verse 2, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore also said, I will not drive out or drive them out before you, that is the enemies that were in the land, and they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. Verse 4, so it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Can you circle the word wept? We'll come back to it in a moment. Then they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. The reason why I wanted to circle that word wept is that they simply lifted up their voices and wept. You know what's sad about this? The Lord says to them, you didn't obey my voice. I told you to come into the land that I promised you, and you were to drive out all of these guys that had this pagan, idolatrous worship systems. You were to drive them out. God establishes nations. He's sovereign to do that. But you didn't drive them out. And we looked at that in our previous study. You let them hang out. You let them be around. You let them dwell among you. You began to live among them. And the Lord says, why did you do that? God can snap his finger, church, and do anything he wants at any time. He can just snap his finger and cause an earthquake. Can you imagine? Snap his finger, lightning. How cool would that be? He could say, okay, all your enemies, gone. He doesn't do that. Even though he made the promise, they're to act on his promise by faith. So he says, how come you didn't go? Because you didn't obey me. The very enemy that I promised to move out as you advanced, they're going to now be here. They're going to be thorns in your side. They're going to be problems in your own borders. And what's an amazing thing to me is, instead of them saying and lifting up their voice, we are so sorry, we repent for not following you, Lord, we sinned against you and we repent. That word here, weep, you know what? It's the same word, though this is in Hebrew. In Greek, it's the same word, and it gives you, causes the hair on your neck to stand up if you have hair on your neck. It's the same word that when Judas got busted, remember, he was sorry that he got caught. He did not repent. There was no repentance in his heart. He got bummed that he got caught. That's not repentance. If somebody gets caught and then they say they're sorry, you don't know if they're repentful or not. If your little kid has been robbing the cookie jar and you have no evidence of it, but then he comes to you and says, you know what, Mom, I can't take it anymore. I've been robbing the cookie jar. I repent. That's a great sign. But if he's got his hand in the jar or crumbs on his mouth and you say, what did you do? I'm sorry. Why are you sorry? Well, the answer is really, truly, I just got caught. If I wouldn't have got caught, I would still be stealing cookies. That's what they mean. Judas's confession was, really, I would have still been betraying Jesus if I wouldn't have got caught. Israel here is weeping because we got busted. We still would have disobeyed God, but doggone it, we got busted. It's not in the heart. This is a very, very key, very, very important thing. We must answer to the Lord as believers. And it's clear, I believe, in the scripture that nations must answer to the Lord. And Israel, from time to time, from history to history, from life to life, will answer and must answer to the Lord. Verses 6 through 9, a nation created for God's purpose is a people that must honor God in life. Any nation, it's amazing. You look at nations who honor God, look how blessed they are. Some nations are living off residual blessings, but God blesses. Verse 6 through 9, and when Joshua, he's talking about the past, had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen, listen, all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the borders of his inheritance of Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the Bible says, "For to everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed to him or of him, the more will be asked of." God gave great signs. It says right here in verse 7 that they had seen tremendous works of God. Can you imagine trafficking with the children of Israel for those 40 years going across the wilderness, and there's the presence of God in the desert? And you guys, he kept them warm when they needed warmth. He protected them from the blazing, burning sun when they needed protection from the sun. When the enemies came from behind, the Lord was there. When they were scared and they wouldn't advance, the Lord went before them. He was all over them. He was everywhere. They saw that. They saw Sinai shaking. They saw the waters part. They saw the manna coming down from heaven every day. Manna. You know what? Some scholar who must have had a lot of time on his hands said that there's somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million people in the wilderness when they were moving for those 40 years. And this guy figured out that on the average consumption of what a normal diet is, and he took manna and figured out that there was about 30 to 40 tons of manna per day that God would lay out over the ground. Now, I don't know how you see that, because we drive through and get our manna. You know? It takes us like 3 minutes to get our manna. They would wake up in the morning and manna was all over the place. Looked like snow, a little wafer on everything. They would scoop it up and eat it and make all the manna food, all kinds of food. God provided for them. They saw that. Well, the Bible says in Luke, to whom much is given, much will be required. Is your life blessed? Is your life blessed? Do you know God? Do you know John 3:16? Can't each of us quote at least one verse of the Bible? Hey, that's enough to be held accountable for that one verse. When God blesses a nation, he requires life out of that nation. He requires honor out of that nation. He requires that nation to walk with him. And the Lord is more involved, I believe, in nations than we often give him credit for or we think about. You kind of wonder if you could see the spiritual realm today of what's going on in the realm. Can you imagine if you could just snap on some spiritual eyeballs right now and look over toward the Middle East and see what's going on? With all the stuff that's going on in the world today, can you imagine the spiritual activity that traffics around these global leaders? Can you imagine the demonic activity just around the UN building alone? All the weirdness that's going on where global policies are made. In fact, I tell you what, you should look at the UN policies in relation to Israel and their rulings, and then you'll really know there's weirdness going on around there. They always vote against Israel. God knows that. He sees that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Nation Under God. It's a look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 2, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians, and what we've done is placed that entire series all on one MP3 CD. So here's our offer for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.